All right, we're going to be in Proverbs in chapter 10 this morning. Not going to read the whole chapter, we're going to read a couple of verses out of the chapter. Proverbs in chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now look down in verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Then look it down at verse 18. We're going to read 18 through 21. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And then flip down towards the end of the chapter, verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this Sunday school. We thank you, Lord, for this book of Proverbs.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that it gives and for the help that it gives in living this life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us instruction this morning, that you would help us not only to be able to understand what you're trying to tell us, but give us the strength, Lord, that we need to be able to apply it and actually make a difference in our life. Lord, help us to be different than those around us so people can see Christ in us. We need your help in this, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he starts out, we're seeing a little bit of a change in the book of Proverbs. And as I told you in the beginning, this was not going to be a verse-by-verse study in the book of Proverbs. We're dealing with, I'm just identifying some themes in the book of Proverbs. We've already dealt with wisdom. We've looked at one subject that is repeated over and over again in the first part of Proverbs, and that's the subject of adultery. We dealt with that last week. And believe me, if we heed God's warning on this stuff, it would sure make our lives better. And this is what this book is all about. It's about making our life right here, right now, better. And now in chapter 10, he starts off by saying the Proverbs of Solomon. The Proverbs of Solomon. Now we're going to get into what I discussed in the beginning. We're going to see all of these short statements. And Proverbs is a great book for picking out verses to memorize. These Proverbs can be memorized very, very quickly. And even for those of you that have the most difficult time in memorizing, there's a lot, just by the way that it's structured and everything, it makes for very easy memorization. And even if you don't get it word for word and you memorize, if you get the gist and the thought of it and you can remember that, boy, it's going to help you out a lot.
Amen.
And I want to bring up another theme this morning. And probably from here on out, I'll probably pick up Proverbs again. I want to deal with some others. But just to get you, you know, there's some little Proverbs that if you get a hold of and not only just memorize so that you can quote them, but so that you can actually apply them in your life, they will change your life. People make grandiose claims about things. You know, we were at the trade show yesterday at the San Antonio Home and Garden Show. And boy, it's just amazing, amazing what people claim, you know. They rub this little goop on Judy, you know, and they say that it can cure bursitis, it can cure gout, it can cure plantar fasciitis, it can cure muscle spasms, it can cure ADD, you know. I mean, you just rub this ointment on you, all your problems are over, you know. And I got excited. I was, well, how much is it? You know, it's $65 a bottle. And no, I'm not that excited about it. But they make a lot of claims, don't they? There's people that make all kinds of claims. You just do this, man, it is going to change your life. Well, I can say this, that if you take some of these proverbs and you put them into your life, I don't think it's a grandiose claim. I think I can say for sure it's going to change your life.
Amen.
You get some husband with wandering eyes that takes a look at those warnings there and he decides to take heed to them, he might change his life and his family's life. You get a young man who's devoid of wisdom and he decides that he's going to apply wisdom in his life. Can you imagine the trouble that he's going to avoid as a young man applying wisdom in his life? It'll change his life. And here's another verse that if you take hold of and you actually put into practice, it could change your life. And that's right there in verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You see, we're talking about what you do with your mouth. We're talking about the words that you speak. We say all the time that a Christian ought to be different. He ought to be different than those around him. And there are some Christian groups that have actually tried to take this to the extreme to really be different. There are Amish groups and certain, you know, back to nature kind of groups that think that it's godly to, you know, to not use electricity, not get on the internet, you know, and still farm with hand tools and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, you know. I really think that if Jesus were on the earth today and he was a carpenter, he'd be using a Makita power saw or he'll be using a Milwaukee hammer drill, you know? I mean, believe me, I don't think that it's going to make you any more godly to espouse power or to put black on or to ride around in a carriage, you know, or to look like Little House on the Prairie the way that you dress, you know? I don't necessarily think that that makes you more godly. In fact, when I grew up in the Catholic Church, all of the priests and all of the nuns, they dressed very distinctly. And you could tell a nun a mile off. Nowadays, you know, a lot of them wear street clothes and it's hard to tell the difference. But back then, man, you could tell one a mile away. Now tell me that that's any more, not chaste, but, say that again. Well, not righteous, but, modest. It's modest in the sense that they cover up all their flesh. That's good. But, you know, they are still attracting undue attention to themselves. And I think that we ought to blend in. So, you know, of course we dress different in the sense that we are not going to go out for all these ungodly styles. And thank God our women have enough sense to close up more of the flesh and cover things up, you know. And so to a certain extent, the way we dress is going to be a little bit different, but that's not really our real difference, you know. You can't tell a Christian by his hairstyle. You can't tell a Christian by necessarily the clothes that he wears or by the car that he drives. You're going to tell a Christian by several things, one of them being the way that he talks.
Amen. Amen.
Man, those Christians that are walking close with the Lord, man, they just talk different. And believe me, those that are really godly have no respect for those that name the name of the Lord and then have a filthy mouth. Man, just have no respect for them at all. And you've met them, and I've met them too. Oh, yeah, man, you know, they're just cussing up a storm. But then you think you start talking about godly things. Oh, yeah, man, my church over here. Your church? Maybe I had to call your pastor and tell him that you're in public talking like that, you know? People don't really, I guess, value how we speak. But I want you to see some proverbs here this morning about our speech. That if you take heart to this, you're going to see some people's lives are completely and totally screwed up because of what's coming out of their mouth. I had opportunity this week to be in a situation. It wasn't an easy situation. We had to end up letting somebody go, and primarily because of things that they said. And I don't know about you, but God takes seriously the things that we said. Aren't there verses? I didn't even write them down. I just it just came to mind just now that every idle word we're going to be given an account of in the day of judgment. Every idle word that the things that we say, God is actually going to bring back to our remembrance and He's going to hold us accountable? Wow. That's a sobering thought. The things that we say, God takes seriously. The things that we say, other people take seriously. The things that we say can actually either bless or destroy our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. This is an interesting verse. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Do you believe that? That death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, we are not of the doctrinal position like those that they've come up with a little phrase for this particular type of belief. It's called name it and claim it, you know, that you can have what you say. You know, I don't necessarily believe that. I don't necessarily believe that if I say something loud enough and long enough that it will actually come true for me. You know, I don't necessarily agree with all that. But I see a big difference in people that talk well and people that talk very poorly. And I'm not talking about whether they stutter or whether they transpose their words. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about the kind of subjects that they talk about, whether they talk about God in a derogatory tone, whether they talk about Him in very high and lofty tones. Man, there is a difference. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you take heed to what Proverbs is trying to teach you about the tongue, you can literally change your life. You can change the relationships with those around you. Man, there are people that I just, you know, you just take a deep breath before you meet some people. You guys have them in your lives too, we all do, where you just kind of brace yourself, right? Because either maybe they're negative. And you know, man, that what comes out of their mouth is going to be, it's going to be like sitting next to Eeyore, you know, that, I mean, everything is just doom and gloom, you know, and man, what a drag they can be on you. What kind of a life do you think people that are like that actually have? You know, because you say something, you'll start believing what you say, you know, and there are people that are like that are people that have this edge, this angry kind of adversarial edge to the things that they say. You know, that's a real drag to be around too. Amen. And you can list all kinds of different things. You know, all kinds. I'm telling you, it's important the way people talk. People are going to evaluate us by the things that we say. Amen. Do you know that? This lost world, they're looking at us. They're checking out what we say. Amen. They are waiting to see how we complain at the workplace. They're waiting to see. They're checking us out. They're looking at us through the corner of their eyes, and they're waiting to see if we chuckle at a dirty joke. They're waiting to see if maybe we go along with something that's being said or focused on. Believe me, they're watching us. And it's not only for us, it can affect other people. The way that we talk makes a huge difference. It says over there in that verse, and this verse that if we took heart to it, it could change our life. It says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but the violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." You see, this is a proverb that compares two things against each other. It gives two different extremes. And I want to talk about this a little bit today. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. Matthew 12:24. This is a statement that was spoken by the Lord Jesus. Look what He says. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's chapter 12, verse 34. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, now here's why it's so important to take note of what we say, because what Jesus says, and I, you know, and let me tell you something, Jesus is different than any other preacher. You can't lump him in with all other humanity, all other teachers. I mean, he was the very God incarnate. He could see down into the heart. You and I, we can't do that, right? People can't see our intentions.
Right.
And you can't see other people's intentions. You know, that's partly why we got to cut some people some slack sometimes.
Amen.
We got to be a little bit more merciful and a little bit more compassionate, because we can't always see people's hearts, you know? Now, you can be very judgmental at other people. Somebody does something that you just despise, you know, you're standing there in the checkout line and somebody just walks right up in front of you and doesn't even pay any attention and then checks out their, and you're, you know, you didn't get your basket up fast enough. You know, I don't know if you've ever been there, but that happened to me the other day. And it just made me mad. But then I got to thinking, you know, I remember there was a time when I cut in line once. I had no clue that I cut in line. I'm sitting there, I cut in line, you know, and I'm just happy. I'm putting my stuff down. And I heard these people behind me, you know, kind of grumbling and everything. And I didn't pay any attention to it. I'm just got my stuff right there. It turned out that they had a gap that they were being courteous enough to let people walk back and forth through. And they were waiting patiently in line, and I just walked right in front of them. Man, when I realized that, I was so embarrassed. But they were mad at me. Who is this idiot? You know, this self? I didn't know. You know, so did I get real super mad at myself? No, I didn't. Because you know what? I saw my own motives. And my own motives, I said, you know, I really wasn't trying to be like that. But man, can I be judgmental on other people's motives, can I? You know, a lot of people, they can't see your heart. And you can't see other people's heart. That's why as human beings, we judge each other by the things that we say. You might say, well, you know, it was just words. You ever sang that little ditty as a kid, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Well, you know, it is good to teach your kids that in one sense, because you got to steel them, man. You got to toughen them up a little bit. You got to, man, especially if you're going to send your kids to public school or you're going to send your kids out there, you've got to give them a little bit of reserve, because they're going to get some words. You think they're all nice? Man, my kids hear words that I haven't heard in years. You know, they'll hear some things. They'll experience some things. So yeah, we've got to get a little hard and the ability to be able to let some stuff roll off our back. But at the same time, I want you to know that words are very important, and the words that we say, man, they can absolutely change our life. They can change those that are around us. And to give you perspective, God says the word that you speak, they actually come out of your heart. So maybe it's not just an innocent little, like we call it, a slip of the tongue. Maybe it's an indication of something else. You know, you don't want to analyze it too deep, of course, you know, because then you get into a lot of trouble there. But just know that, you know, there's some serious issues with the way that we talk. And God says that a lot of those issues, they come right out of the heart. Now, go back there to the book of Proverbs where we are in chapter 10. Got some things that we can learn about the way that we talk, about our words. We're going to look at verses 18 through 21 again, because kind of our theme is that the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. It's a source of all kinds of good things. But the mouth of the wicked covereth up violence. It's full of deceit and false intentions. But let's read verses 18 through 21 again. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Now here are four verses And it doesn't always work out that way in the book of Proverbs, but in this particular case, you have four verses back to back that deal with this one subject and deal with certain aspects of it. And I want to use this as, by way of illustration. So in this particular passage right here, if we wanted to kind of divide them up, we could look at verse 18 and we could see that we're talking about hatred, lying, slander, that this is the damage that's caused by bad speech. That this is the damage that's caused. In verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. We've often said that preachers speaking extemporaneously, you know, saying something wrong is an occupational hazard, you know. The more you talk, the more the ability you have. One time somebody told me, they said, man, how in the world can you get, back when I was a trucker, how in the world can you get three tickets in 1 year? Man, you must really be a bad driver. I said, no, it's just that I drove 100,000 miles that year. When you put it in that perspective, and you only drove 12,000 miles in your car, you know, there is more of a chance that I'm going to get a ticket than you are, you know. It had nothing to do with my driving, I guarantee. But you speak a lot of words, and there's the opportunity. So there's some risks associated with a lot of talking. And then in verse 20, it says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. Man, this is something valuable that I want you to see the actual value in good words, in good speaking. And the heart of the wicked, of course, is of little worth. And then verse 21, it says, the lips of the righteous feed many. These are the benefits. So we've got some of the damage. We've got some risks. We've got the value assessed towards good speech. And then we've got some of the benefits that are shown. And we'll kind of use that as a guide. Go back there in verse 18, because we'll do the hard stuff first and get it out of the way. And believe me, this is hard because when you start looking, not a lot of people like to do studies on sin. You know, they don't like to see the negative side of things. It reminds them too much of themselves a lot of times. And yeah, this can be difficult, but you know, let me tell you what wisdom will really do for you. It'll give you the ability to see something that not only you don't like, but that God doesn't like in you, and give you somewhat of a will to want to change that. If you get to the place where you stop changing, stop wanting to improve, stop wanting to be more like Christ, then you're in trouble. There's no spot in the Christian life where things are level out, you know. When you're early on, you can get a lot out of your life. And it seems like when I first became a Christian, man, things were happening so fast. There were so many things changing so fast. Man, it was like a whirlwind. So if you would have saw me, I called on the Lord right around February. If you would have saw me that July, man, my haircut was the same because I was in the military. You know, all my outward appearance was basically the same. But whoa, man, if you'd have saw me between then and then, and there were some people, you know, that I associated with that were off on deployment here, there, going back and forth. When they saw me, they were like, man, what happened to you? Because it was like a new man, totally different. But once I got a lot of that initial junk in, it wasn't an easy ride, you know. Then there was other stuff God wanted me to deal with. And then as you grow as a Christian and you get more and more, sometimes you start slacking off and you start picking up bad habits that you never even had before. And then you got to realize what you're doing. So let me tell you, if you see something in your life, don't just ignore it. Deal with it, man. Do something about it. And especially when it comes to your speech. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Let me tell you how serious some of this stuff is. I tried to explain how serious adultery was by listing some of the consequences and some of the damage that it causes. Let's look a little bit at the negative side of what we say and see how things like this can really affect it. It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips. You know, that look over in Proverbs 25:18. We'll see another verse that deals with lying. Proverbs 25:18. It says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. You know, all these things are weapons. You know, one for very, very close combat, a maul, a sword a little bit farther away, and an arrow, man, you can shoot an arrow a long way. Let me tell you something. He that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. None of these things are good. I'm talking about lying. And when we talk about lying, I want to put several things into that category. I'm talking about false witness. I'm talking about misleading statements. I'm talking about sometimes not telling the whole truth, putting things so that you kind of bend things towards your perspective. Now, don't tell me you're not guilty of that. Amen. Don't tell me when you get ready to confess your sin, you know, you want to kind of tweak a little bit to make it sound a little bit more palatable, you know, or when you're trying to defend your side of the story. Don't tell me you never got into a car accident and it was partially your fault. And when the officer came over to get your statement on the matter, all of a sudden you had a little halo over your head and said, I was just driving, you know. Yeah, we can get into the business. We can be full-blown, all-out liars. Amen. And we can be anything in between. A guy that bears false witness against his neighbor, yeah, he can cause a lot of damage. You say, well, you know, there's not much words can do. Oh, let me tell you something. Words can be... In fact, I tell you what, the law takes it seriously. You know, right up there at MIT, you know what they're looking for right now? They're looking to arrest somebody. The cops are mad because somebody... They didn't say it with their lip, but they actually came in through, they just said electronic media, that somebody called in a false threat and said that somebody with a gun was in the MIT building. Well, hey man, we got protection, right? We got freedom of speech in this country. Don't we have the freedom to be able to say whatever we want to say? According to the law, there's some things that you can't say. And the law takes it seriously. Let me tell you, God takes it seriously also. You can actually be arrested for making a false statement. Go ahead and go to court, swear into court, and then say something that's not true. And you can go to jail just for saying something. There are people's lives that have been destroyed. You know, absolutely ruined over false testimony. And some of you, and I'm including myself also, can be guilty of the same thing. How often has it been that a well-meaning Christian, not for the sake of spreading gossip, but for a prayer request, you know? I have a prayer request. And then they start laying out something that they heard about somebody else. You know what makes it worse? Is if you didn't even hear it from the person, you heard it from somebody who told you. Have you ever had somebody come up to me? And you can nod your head right now and say, yeah, that happened to me. Where did you hear sister so-and-so told me that brother so-and-so, where it starts getting third, fourth-hand knowledge. You know what they call that in courts? They call it hearsay. And that can be bad. They'll throw out that evidence a lot. If you go into court and you say, well, sister so-and-so said that brother so-and-so said, they'll just throw it out. That's hearsay. But how often do we repeat these kinds of things? There's a verse that talks about a talebearer. Look at Proverbs 18:18. And I know that no Christians really enjoy gossip. We could fit a lot of this stuff into gossip. It says, that's not the right verse, 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Wow. You can destroy somebody's life just by saying something about them that's not true. What does it say in that verse back there in chapter 10? It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Because that's exactly what it is. When you say something about somebody that's not true, or that you haven't asserted to be true, or you're just repeating stuff that you heard some other people say, man, let me tell you something. Gossip will spread like wildfire, and people have been very, very hurt over things that aren't true. People's lives have been destroyed. And especially now with the electronic media that we have, man, you talk about being scary to live in this generation. All somebody has to do is post something about you with a picture of you, and it doesn't matter if it's true or not. This person cut and pastes it and sticks it over here and over there, and so you go to court. And so you actually figure out that somebody was lying about you. So you get that person that was lying about you and get him put in jail. Does it matter? Not anymore. Because there are a lot of people that will still believe what you say. You know, the scariest thing, and we do it with people that, you know, somebody comes in for an interview, you know, we just kind of Google the name, you know, see what they are on Facebook and see. You say, man, that's an invasion of privacy. Man, I'm telling you, nothing's private anymore. It's all out there. And if you start getting pulling up names, you know, this person child abuser and over here this and violence that, man, it almost doesn't matter if it's not true. You want to put up your hands and you want to say, man, I don't even want to mess with that. It's really bad. People don't take this seriously. I read a story of a young man who was working at a pizza place and they got robbed one night from a masked gunman and took a bunch of money, and one of the employees thought it would be really funny to implicate one of the other employees, a young man, a teenager. And so he did. He went to the police and he implicated him. And so, you know, the police came to his home. They said, yeah, man, he's got the gun and the mask in his house right now. I saw it, you know. And so it was a total bold-faced lie. They came in with a SWAT team, man. There were 50 cars around this poor kid's house. The parents were going crazy. The neighbors were looking out. And of course, you know, he got taken off in handcuffs to the police station, spent the night in jail, all these kind of things. Well, you know, the truth finally came out. And it was turned that, you know, that he was innocent of the charges. By then, it didn't matter. The whole entire neighborhood saw what happened. And they still, some of them believe to this day that he was actually the thief. He just hid the mask. All started because of a lie. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. You know what we ought to be in love with as Christians? We ought to be in love with truth. There ought to be something in us when somebody walks up to us with a little bit of juicy gossip about somebody else. There ought to be some sort of restraint that says, now let's just slow down a minute. That's my brother you're talking about. That's my sister you're talking about. Man, there'd be a whole lot of trouble that could be avoided by just doing that. But yeah, that's kind of in us. You know, that's kind of... Here's another one that kind of is along those same lines. Look at Proverbs in chapter 25 and verse 23. It says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the way that it's phrased here. A backbiting tongue. You know what that tells me? You know what that gives me the indication of? You know, first, just the comical picture that it brings to your mind of somebody actually gnawing on your back, you know? I remember, who was it? It was Hideo was the strong brother, right? Or was it Ken? I don't remember. I think Hideo was the strong one. He was the one with the loud voice and everything. And I remember he was quoting a story one time. He was down there in São Paulo. Remember, he was telling this story and some guy came up and stuck a gun behind his back. He said, man, give me all your money. He says, what? You're not a man? You come around. You come around and face me. You shoot me in my face if you're a man, you know. You know, there are some people in life that can just get away with that. You do that, you'll get shot. Don't try that at home. But I just laughed, you know, because it was so funny. And it just gives this indication of a coward. You know, and let me tell you, an absolute coward will talk about men behind their back and they won't have the ability to face them to their face. There was a brother one time, he left the church, you know, and he harassed us for a long time, all kind phone calls, you know, and different things, and just, it went on for a long time, and just comments, you know, and writing things and sending them to us, you know, and I was included in some of that, you know, and then one day I met him in a parking lot, and he was like, "Hey, brother, been a long time, you know." And you're just looking at something. I mean, you can feel what I probably was feeling. Like, was like, "You dirty, slimy, hypocrite, no good," you know. I was thinking of every Christian cuss word in the book. Wasn't saying it, but I was thinking, man, look at this guy. Doesn't even have enough guts to call me that name to my face, you know. Yeah, that's a coward, but that's the way we get a lot of times. You might not even have those intentions, but sometimes it comes out, you know. Let me tell you, be real careful what you say about somebody else. Amen. Be real careful what you repeat. You're angry with somebody. I know it's hard. But there have been people that have been angry with other people. And you know the first person they come to? A third party. Now, why do you want to do that? I'll tell you why. Because you want somebody to agree with you. That's what you want. You want somebody to agree with you. Look, you're upset with somebody. I know it takes guts. I mean, it takes humility and everything. But believe me, it's the best way. Go to that person. Amen. That's what Jesus says. Go to the person. Take them aside, you know. Pray beforehand. Get a good spirit, you know. So, man, if there's something that needs to be confronted, and listen, if you're not willing to do that, you say, "Well, you know, I don't want to face this person. I don't want to do anything." Then swallow it and forget it. Put it behind you and never think about it again. That's the best way. But bringing in third parties and all these kind of things and backbiting and spreading rumors, it actually... It ruins people. Look at Psalm 109 in verse 17. Psalm 109. "As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones." Wow. You know what it says here? That the man who lives with cursing, and I'm not just talking about speaking cuss words, because I think it goes farther than that here. And believe me, that ought to be something that gets out of your vocabulary. It's cuss words. And sometimes you're going to say a cuss word if you've been used to cussing in the past. It's going to happen. Sometimes you're even going to say it from the pulpit. Every now and then it happens. You know, the words just kind of bloop. But what do you do? It's the same thing as if you cough or you sneeze or you do something else in public. You say, "Hey, excuse me." You know, don't just pass it off like it's nothing, you know. But let me tell you what, going farther than that, it's talking about cursing and blessing. There is something to be said for being careful that what you how and what you say, how it affects other people. You can bless people, you can curse people. A life given to cursing, and let me tell you, I know some people that are always angry with somebody. You met those kind of people? Man, if it's not... And believe me, if you know somebody like that and they're in your life, then don't be agreeing too quickly with them. Because let me tell you, you're going to get into trouble because sometimes they're going to be angry with the same person that you're angry with. And they just have that thing. So they're railing on this person, so you just join right in, you know, and you get involved. You know what that is? That's cursing. You're not blessing that person. You're cursing the person. Let me tell you something. It's just like the person. If a woman is willing to leave your husband to commit adultery with you, then you don't think she's going to be willing to commit adultery on you? And the same vice versa. Let me tell you, somebody who's willing to come up to you and talk bad about somebody else to you, what do you think they're saying about you to that other person?
That's right, brother.
They're probably cursing you to somebody else. You stay and keep your distance. And people like that, you be very careful what you say. In fact, what it says over there in Proverbs is real good advice. Because of the problems that we have with words, there in verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." There's an old saying that we learned as kids also. If you can't say something nice, don't what? Don't say anything at all. Hey, that came from the Bible. It says right there, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Don't tell me that we don't have the ability to restrain ourselves. You know what we have in this society? We have a mentality that we don't have enough inner fortitude, we don't have enough strength, and especially us as Christians, we don't have enough God-given strength to actually say no to ourselves. But you have that ability. Right now, they will not teach just abstinence only in many schools because they say, well, there's just no way the kids, you have to teach this because the kids are going to do what they're going to do. You know, that's the mentality. They're going to go screw up their lives and they're going to do this and there's nothing we can do about it. Hey, you know, the Bible says there's a lot that you can do about it. And you're not just subject to your own passions, by the way. And maybe some of you are naturally quiet, so you've got a really good self-image right now, and you say, well, that's not my sin. There are others of you, you think and you talk at the same time, and so you're thinking, wow, man. But let me tell you something, you got to be real careful what you say, and it's good to have a little bit of restraint. You catch yourself starting to say something. Hey, this book here is wise. It tells you. I can give you kind of a brief version of this. It's, I don't want to say it from the pulpit. Yeah, I will. Shut up. Anybody ever tell you that? Of course, I teach my kids, don't say that. You know, because that's a very harsh term and everything. But oh man, sometimes you got to be harsh with yourself. You look at yourself and you say, self? Well, if you don't like the word shut up, say be quiet, silence, whatever you want, Do not talk. This isn't time to talk, Especially when some of these things are going around. We've got to show a little bit of restraint. Because words, they can really, really increase the problems that you have in your life. But if you can get a handle on the way that you talk and on the words that you speak, man, you can actually change your life. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 8. Back up to verse 6. This is advice to young men. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And if you're over the age of 12 and you haven't yet memorized this passage, I would highly recommend 6, 7, and 8 to be memorized and practiced. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, just serious, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Look at verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. There are a lot of our problems, a lot of our persecutions, a lot of our conflicts with the world don't come because we're godly. It comes because we're ungodly, because we talk just like the world. We ought to be marked by sound speech. I'm talking about sound speech. Not all the lies and the silliness and the vanity and the frivolity that goes on in this life, but our speech ought to be marked by something that's sound, man, something that's solid. So a young man, you know, he exhorts to be sober-minded in his mind, serious about the things that he exhorts to be strong in his doctrine, and then he exhorts to be sound in his speech. You're going to find a young man that is going to be hard to condemn him, and there are people like that around. Somebody, I think Lindell was preaching on Daniel recently, and that Daniel, that was a hard man to pin down. Because let me tell you something about Daniel. He wasn't losing his temper every time he turned around. He wasn't saying stupid stuff. He wasn't going off on some irritated tangent and speaking things in public that later on he was sorry for. They had to get him on the way that he practiced his prayer. That was how they got him. Man, would God that be said about us. That it'd be hard for them to catch us in a lie. You know, it'd be hard for them to catch us in a backbiting moment. That it would be hard for them to catch us gossiping or lying or flattering or using unnecessary harshness. I've seen that among preachers. You know, you get some preachers out on the street, and believe me, they're getting all kinds of reactions, but not because they're preaching the gospel, because of what's coming out of their mouth. You know, if I'm walking by and I originated from Syria or Iran or a place like that, and I heard some guy call me a camel jockey or a towel head, I'm going to get upset. I had no control over where I was born. I've got no control over my skin color. I've got no control over my heritage or how I grew up, you know. And you're going to insult me because of where I came from? You know, no wonder some preachers get all kinds of reaction. God never called us to that. And I've heard preachers say, well, you know, he called them whited sepulchers. Let me tell you, be careful about something. Jesus knew that these men really were whited sepulchers. Because he not only saw the outside, he saw the inside. And he wasn't dealing with them on their race. He was dealing with them on the sense that he saw their heart and it was full of dead men's bones. And he saw how they took all kinds of pains to paint the outside to make it look religious when on the inside it was wicked to the core. He was just calling it for what it is. But you see, you and I, we got to be real careful. You don't want to insult somebody just to insult them. Let me tell you, I can get all kinds of reactions. In this room today, we can cause a minor panic just by starting to talk about things that incite. God never calls us to that. Sound speech. Man, let's be known for sound speech. Be known for some good things. Be known for some restraint. Because it says the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Let me tell you, there are some things that godly men have told me in love, and some of them were hard, by the way, that I to this day treasure. Any of you have phrases written in the front of your Bible? Things that have impacted you? Man, I do. Not in this one, but in my other one. And I've got things written. Somebody said something. Wow! You know, what a thought. Put it down in there. Man, there's not a lot that the ungodly world says that I think is so important that I got to write it down in a book, you know. But there are some things I get out of Proverbs. There are some things that godly men say. Let me tell you something. You can use your mouth for something good and something valuable and something righteous. Down there towards the end of the verse, it said, the lips of the righteous feed many. How about you make a resolution in your heart that you are done tearing down other people? Amen. That you are finished slandering and backbiting and gossiping and cursing and bitterness. That you're going to walk out that door and you're not going to get caught up in the complaining and you're not going to get caught up in all of the anger and all of the bitterness. That you are going to do what God says and you're going to let your speech be with grace. Seasoned with salt. That when you open your mouth, it's not going to be to belittle or downgrade somebody else. It's going to be to build them up and to strengthen them and to help them.
Amen.
That's what we ought to be as Christians. Let me tell you, that's a verse that will change your life. Believe me, if you start talking like God wants you to talk, your mouth filled with praise. Man, it sure is hard to complain about Obama when you're praising the Lord. Because a lot of this stuff, you just don't care. Man, the world can do whatever it wants. And he said, well, aren't you concerned about that? Yeah, you know what, I'm concerned too. But I also know that I'm a citizen of a country that's coming.
Amen.
That I'm a citizen of a kingdom. And I know that this right here is just a short camping trip. Just going to be here a little while. And my real citizenship is in heaven. And the one that I answer to is not a politician here on earth. But it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to be with Him forever. And that's what I want to talk about. And that's why I go to work on Fridays and I say, hey, only two more days, guys. What? Monday morning. It's coming, man. The best day of the week. You know, man, if you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord, Mondays can be just as good as Fridays. And you're going to talk different. And if people are going to look at you, are going to say, man, what is wrong with you? Or sometimes, Bible says that they do, they're going to come up to you and they're going to ask you a reason of the hope that is within you.
Amen.
Let's get a little wisdom in our life and let's talk like God wants us to talk. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this Sunday school lesson in Proverbs. Help us, Lord, we'd walk different in this present and evil world. In Jesus' name, amen.